What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that walked into the studio one morning, saw your head in the toilet. Disgusting. Ooh. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Great to hear it.
It's been a long time. Shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step two.
Just like that.
Step two.
Anything else from that song?
Ricky.
Oh, I mean,
that's part of the song.
Terry, it's great to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me. Uh-oh.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Would a sick man be able to do this?
Oh, let me crack one again.
Do it.
I was worried it was going to explode in my face. I told you I had to run on my way over here, and the cam was in the bag.
Oh, jeez.
The bag's in the river.
How long has that been in your bag? For an hour at least?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's cold.
Put it back.
It's still cold.
No chance. It's got to be literally straight out of the... Oh, eyes closed and everything. He's really savouring that, folks.
Oh.
It's got to be straight out of the fridge.
You're crazy.
For me now.
You're crazy.
Big time. How have you been?
Good. More importantly, how have you been?
Oh. I've been all right. I was saying on the Patreon there, if you're a beloved patron, you'd know all about it. But I got COVID last week.
How was it?
Don't have it now. It was, you know what,
Would
3 days.
Would you recommend it?
What?
Would you recommend it?
Not quite. No, now, actually.
How'd you mention it? I don't think I would.
You know, but I was like, I had sympathy for a day at home.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But everyone else has already had it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so they're like, you're old news, old
now,
man.
I feel like I got it worse. Maybe I'm just weaker than my wife and children. But
did everybody have it?
Yeah,
pretty
much. Yeah, everyone did. It was fine. It was like worse the first day. I messaged you because we were considering doing it. And I was like, hey, look, I'll sit far away from you if you want. But I feel great. And then like by the end of that, like, fortunately you saw sense and was like, no.
I would be killed if I brought COVID. We had a little bit of snots and sneezes and stuff.
Yeah.
But if I brought the COVID, it's a rat drum. Let me tell you.
Then, yeah, it was fine. It was just one of those. Like, I don't like it. I don't like being sick.
I don't like working from home.
You have
to work from home?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're sick. Kerry was like, anyone ever hear of sick days in your work?
Like, I'm not going to blow the lid on my work stuff, but let's just say this. When I got COVID, actually, that's not true. When I got COVID, I worked for 2 days because of their year-end close-off. And Faye was like, what are you doing? You have COVID. You're crazy.
Yeah.
And then I took the rest of the time off.
Now, I say I worked. Really, I did work. But I didn't do my... Well, it wasn't my usual productive self.
Sure, how could you be?
I had just traveled to fucking Kilkenny.
That's where you got it. And you gave it to everybody there as well, I'm sure.
No, I had it before then.
So you gave it to everybody then?
But I didn't know I had it then. you're gonna start it up again, Tommy. I went there and I had to interview someone. It was outdoors, fortunately. Some golfing whiz. How to improve your golf swing. It was like a training course that we're doing on there.
How interesting.
I know, it was actually
good. What company, does it, that?
Well... The thing
his
is,
company?
He already had the videos made. I just had to go drive an hour and a half up and an hour and a half back to record them for a total of 10 minutes and just be like, welcome to the course. Yeah, it was actually grand for him.
Stop, have a little bit of lunch in Kilkenny town.
Yeah, and then, but then by the end, I was just like, ugh. Anyway, that's not interesting.
You know what is interesting?
Please.
A little vague and oblique reference I snuck in at the start of the episode.
Yeah, Terry, what was that all about?
Well, Andy, we're going to be talking about it in a bit. It's 25 years since The Sopranos debuted.
Wow, 99?
99.
Wow.
And I just happened to watch the documentary by, it's on My Boys Now TV. Literally, you know what? I'm going to need you to email them and ask, can they sponsor us?
Okay.
And I need you.
Okay, why don't you do that?
Because I have no following, and you made me say it, all right? I have no following online.
Fine, as long as you're willing to admit that now.
To get sponsored. It's been a bit for a long time. If they're listening, tell them to listen to this episode. Tell them how much I want it.
I want it. If they give me an OTV for free, then maybe
give me it too.
We'll talk turkey.
Yeah, I'm pretty weird.
I mean, you're practically, you must have a freebie at this stage. You're,
I mean, I've got shares in the thing.
First name, on a first name basis with the director here.
Of Now TV.
Of the company, yeah.
But I watched, there's a documentary about David Chase. Yeah. It's called Wise Guy, David Chase and the Sopranos. And yeah, I figured, you know what? That's out in the world right now. Why don't we talk about it? It's a show we both love.
Yeah.
And we can kind of dig a little deeper into it and stuff like that.
Yeah, I do. Like, and you know what? It's funny, just that in the last like 3 weeks or so, a lot of Sopranos clips are showing
that's
up on
because
my,
it is
on my TikTok.
It's in
this.
It's in,
and it's great. Do you know what I like? I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about it now or if you want to wait till a bit later, but
let's
save it.
You know what? There's something I've been wanting to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Because a couple of weeks ago, I had a scheduling snafu, and it was just after Man United played Liverpool.
Oh, yes.
And I predicted we'd beat you guys 2-1. And we lost 3-0. All right? And I watched the match.
I feel like whatever's coming next, you've been sitting on for all that time.
I've been sitting on. I'm going to have the conversation with myself. I mean, look at it here. Look. It was a bizarre match, right? I'm not crazy in.
Do you know what? It was a bizarre
and
match.
And I thought the coverage was also insane.
Neville and Carragher and stuff.
I just thought maybe I'm the mad one, but it was like Liverpool were unbelievable here today. I'm like, really?
I don't think Liverpool were unbelievable, but we were ruthless.
Yes, ruthless.
Yeah.
But you and were also open.
I also think that we played better than you as well.
Yeah, I think you did too.
Yeah.
But we gifted you a couple of goals.
True.
And you
full advantage.
100%.
Yeah.
And we didn't take. We could have had 2 goals in that game.
Yeah. It could have been 6-2, Liverpool.
Could have been 6-4. It really could have. Like, that's the way the kind of game went. It was a weird game.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, United are the worst team in the world. Throw them on the scrap heap. Blah,
well, that's
blah, blah.
The narrative, isn't it, online? That's what's going to happen now. Like, do you know? But like I was saying, even before, or even after, like, even as a Liverpool fan, I find it to an extent entertaining, and then it goes on day two, day three. I'm kind of like, all right, like, you know, let's just fucking forget about them and move on. You know what I mean?
I mean, shouldn't that always be the way?
Yeah, you know? But like, you know, granted, like, you know, I don't live in England, I get the United rivalry because a lot of my friends would have been United fans. You're a United fan. It's usually Liverpool or United in Ireland. One thing I can't really relate to Liverpool fans on is the Merseyside derby. Like, it's like, oh, and Everton lost this weekend as well.
Who
yes,
cares?
I don't. Yeah. Just because I'm not from there, so like that doesn't mean anything to me. But it's the whole tribal thing, isn't it? Like,
but I could like, I take the loss. And you have to take it, okay? You have to take it, because we lost.
How were you watching it? Were you like, fuck's sake?
When we conceded the first goal, I was very much, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Casemiro, like, who was that even to, Kinkle?
And I was looking at, like, there's some really good analysis after, and it's like, that goal, the whole thing was like, there's 7 players on the left-hand side, and then on the right-hand side is like Mazraoui and Garnacho.
Mm-hmm.
2-on-2.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the thing.
That's the ball.
That's what you do. You overload one side and then you switch it. And he's like,
yeah.
No.
What if
watch
I
this.
Put
like,
it over here.
Yeah, it's like, thread the needle. It's like, no.
Think so, of where's the last place they'd expect me to put it?
It's like, uh-oh. Like, and it's like 4-on-2 or whatever. And like, granted, yes. almost like dallied too much on it.
On the first one?
The first goal.
Do you think?
Yeah. The first goal.
I think it was pretty pass up to Salah, cross over, head in from Diaz.
I was like, oh, maybe we're going to get away here. Yeah. Like, and then it was like, you know, got in the back post. But it was just like, I was like, okay, like completely preventable. And considering that first 30 minutes, yeah. Okay, you had the goal ruled out for offside. But like, you know, they got in behind a couple of times. And I was like, if you had Rashford in a bit more form, a bit more clinical. What are you talking about, man?
Don't even talk to me about Barnsley.
I'm sorry.
I said, don't talk to me about Barnsley.
Seven, Andy.
It's Barnsley.
You would if it was anything like seven.
I mean, good for the morale.
That's the type of shit we weren't doing last year. Yeah. Where it's like they give you
morale boosting wins.
They give you a body donor. Yeah. You beat the shit out of them. It's like, I don't want to hurt them though. It's like, no, yeah, kill them.
More.
Yeah. No, you have to. Like,
don't
I was like,
settle for four. Like, keep going.
It's like 3-0 at half time. It's like, if this ends 3-0, I'll be like disappointed. And it's like,
yeah.
Seven. Like, yeah, good. That's what you want. That's what it should be. Like, you know?
And
then the second goal, you're like, again.
Is this back to Liverpool?
Back to Liverpool. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, just like.
Oh, it was great though.
Yeah.
It was a good pass. A good pass, Big Salah.
But incredible pass. But it's like, again, completely preventable where you're like, duh. Like, you know.
Roof.
Yeah, get the ball. That's it.
I find it so refreshing though when players go down and it's not really a free. And the refs
would have
like,
got away
on.
With it. You would have got. We would have been like, geez, got away with that one. Like,
yeah,
you know?
yeah. There was a few of them even in Liverpool's game last night where it's like players just going down. Morata, of all people, fucking hate Morata so much.
I like him.
No, I hate him. He's going down like, ooh, you know, and the ref's like, no, get up. I'm like, yes, ref, bit of bottle, you know, that's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, you want strong referees
because I mean, the worst is just when you see like I'll just fall.
Yeah,
like there's literally nothing. Oh, but he fell. Like,
yeah,
and like, I'm just, sorry, what did you see happen there?
The goalkeeper.
Mental. Oh, I mean, a player could just literally stand there.
Yeah.
And has done the keeper.
Like,
penalty. Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be a penalty.
Well, that's the other way around, though. Like, also, the goalkeeper can literally like punch somebody in the face, like when they go over a header. It's like,
yeah. Oh, but he just missed the ball. Like, yeah. He punched him.
We got away with it last year.
Yeah, you did.
But then I'm like, yeah, but that guy wasn't really involved in the play. Like, he's just an innocent
really
bystander.
Spin it, whatever. Well, let me ask you this, right? Because we did something before with Newcastle and United, right? Mm-hmm. Where we went through the team and went pound for pound, who's the biggest wanker?
Who has more wankers?
Yeah, who has the most wankers? Uh-huh. So Liverpool versus Man United.
We're going to go with the starting 11s from that day.
From Liverpool versus United.
Yeah. Okay. I've got them here in front of me.
Okay, now, do you think, should we have one veto? Or just let it? I think we can reach an amicable.
Yeah, turn your key, Andy, you know?
Okay, like, I already know what you're going to say, and I already know what I'm going to say.
I'm Gene Hackman, you're Denzel.
Okay, and furthermore, I tell you, what a rich...
We'll talk about it before the end, all right?
Son of a bitch.
Huh? I got it.
This son of a bitch.
Andy, you gotta trust me. Okay.
Okay.
You gotta trust me.
So
let's start with the goalkeepers.
Okay. Alisson versus Onana.
Can we say they're both not wankers?
Yeah.
Onana's not a wanker.
Onana's not a wanker. You know what? He's tick.
Yeah,
but
no,
he's
but
not.
Like if you hear him, did you hear him talk after the Southampton game the weekend? Where he's like they're like, oh, it's been a difficult few games or whatever, and he's like exactly what you want to hear. It's like, yeah, it's not about making the mistakes, it's how you react to the mistakes.
Yeah,
you know, pick how you pick yourself. I'm like, yeah, exactly what you want.
His media training came in handy there.
Media training,
yeah,
come on. That's just him. You can tell it's just
all
him.
Me.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's zero for zero.
Yeah, right.
All right,
right back, Mazraoui and Alexander Arnold.
I don't know enough about Mazraoui. I'll take Alexander.
He's a wanker.
I love him, but yeah, fine.
He's a wanker.
Fine, that's right. Fine.
Okay, centre halves. Because I think Mazraoui is a, you know, he's like...
I know he's going to be a wanker though, Mazraoui. Just he has the look about him. He looks good, but he...
Racist, are you? You've been racist?
No, he's white, isn't he?
He's Moroccan.
That's nothing. That means nothing.
Okay. African, I mean, he's African, like...
Yeah, no, I'm not thinking of race. You're making it a race.
He has the look. You said he has the look.
You're the one who said Trent is a wanker.
Because he is a wanker. He's English. He's English, Andrew.
Okay, fair. All right, I'll give you that.
Okay, center halves.
Okay, who have you got?
De Ligt, and you have Konate.
Neither are wankers.
Yeah. If anything, I'm a huge fan of De Ligt already.
Yeah, fine, yeah. I like him.
He's good. Good, made of good stuff.
Yeah.
Martinez and Van Dijk.
Martinez is a wanker.
And Van Dijk is a huge wanker.
I don't think so.
He is.
This was the one I thought you were. I cannot see what you see. And I'm normally very objective.
Okay.
He's just really good. And he knows he's good.
Here you go. Talk about the Dutch game where De Ligt was taken off at halftime. And Koeman spoke out about him. You know, he made mistakes, blah, blah, blah. The captain of the team, of the national team, Van Dijk, also did an interview and spoke about his mistakes being made and basically hung him out to dry in the press.
About De Ligt's mistake. Yeah. But did he, though?
Yes, he did.
Did he name him?
Yes.
Did he say, our mistakes, we made mistakes?
No, he's talking about
that because
they asked him about De Ligt being taken off and he's like, you make mistakes at this level, you know, you have blah, blah, blah. And you're like, it's shitty.
I mean, look, I don't know anything about that.
Right. I'm telling you. I've got a bias because he's a wanker. Yeah.
I can say Van Dijk's a wanker. Wanker's not
You're
the
not
word.
Getting the veto.
I don't think we...
Martinez is not a wanker.
Martinez is obviously a wanker.
Why is he obviously a wanker?
Because he's a little fucking...
He'd go through
Jack
you.
Jack Russell.
He's really good and he knows he's really good. Same argument.
No, Van Dijk, the difference in Van Dijk, you can say Van Dijk is smug if you want.
Smug wanker.
But he's not a wanker. He's not a wanker to anybody.
I just gave
Martinez
you one instance.
Martinez is a little like...
I gave you one instance of him being a wanker to his teammate, his international teammate. It's not hearsay. It's out there. J.I., it's fake news.
I can't say Van Dijk.
Then we just scrap the whole thing.
No, because I disagree.
Well, I disagree in Martinez. So then
but you know Martinez is
but
a
you know, no, I don't know he's a wanker. I know he's a terrier, like you say.
Oh,
he's tenacious.
Yeah. That's wanker talk.
I'll give you a break. You call me a wanker?
No, that's Terry.
Yeah, so it's either they're both there or they both aren't. What are you willing to do?
Can't you just move on to the left backs and then...
Yeah, so they either both there or they both aren't.
But you can't say Martinez isn't a wanker just because I don't think Van Dijk's a wanker. Martinez
is the same
top three wanker of the two teams.
Give me a break. Top one is Van Dijk.
And two teams, one of them has Bruno Fernandes and Van Dijk's number one.
Yeah. I'll give you Bruno number two. Sure. I'll give you number two.
You're not being objective here.
You
don't like Van Dijk.
He's a wanker.
Hey, Terry, come on now.
Andy, come on. Come on. So I'm giving you the out. They both are or they both aren't?
No, I can't say Van Dijk's a wanker. Genuinely.
Okay, so then.
Genuinely.
So
we're just saying
it's still one. What do we say? You have Trent as a wanker.
I mean.
Okay. Left back, Dalot and Robertson.
Dalot's a wanker.
You think he's a wanker?
Yeah.
Why do you think he's a wanker?
He just has that look on him, doesn't he?
But that's a really bad argument.
Look, I don't know. I'm not going to have a good argument for any of these people.
Dalot's
a wanker.
I like Robertson.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a wanker.
Okay.
I would like Robertson on my team. Now, if you're going to say Dalot's a wanker because of...
I mean...
Well, give me an instance. Give me something.
I have to push back on this.
You've gone back to Van Dijk?
I have to push... No, I'm going back to Martinez. Martinez is a grade A wanker.
So is Van Dijk.
No, wanker is not the word for Van Dijk.
It is the word. It's the feeling. It's the sentiment. I'm meeting you here, you know?
Okay, fine. Let's put them both in.
Okay, great.
I have to have Martinez.
Okay, great.
I will concede Van Dijk.
Because he's a wanker.
I mean,
he is.
You'd love him. You'd love him in your team.
Yeah, probably. But I'd still think he's a wanker.
Okay, so who have we got? So we have...
And then, are you going to... You want Dalot in as a wanker? Do you actually want him
in? No, I want Martinez. I'm gunning for Martinez.
Okay, so he's in.
So Dalot's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Leave
and
him.
Robertson is fine. I like Robertson. I like that he's a bit of a wind-up merchant.
Yeah.
I don't consider that wankerish behaviour.
Yeah.
Then okay. Midfield.
Okay.
Casemiro, and we have... McAllister.
Neither are wankers.
Yeah, I think they're both okay. Yeah.
I like them both.
He'd be an idiot, Casemiro.
Casemiro, he's a giant baby man, but yeah.
Mainoo and Gravenberch.
Gravenberch's not a wanker.
No, I think he's okay.
Mainoo.
Come on. What's he doing?
He's going to be a wanker. We know he's going to be a wanker.
There's a baby Hitler argument you're giving me here. Like, if you had the opportunity.
No, he's fine. He's fine. Okay, yeah, Mainoo's fine. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Fernandez and Szoboszlai.
Well, Fernandez obviously.
Yeah, fair enough. I will give you that.
I can see Szoboszlai as well being a wanker. I can see it. I don't personally think it. But I don't think I'd push back too hard if you thought Szoboszlai.
I don't really think he's a wanker.
I figured
though.
That you would actually quite like him. You know what I mean?
I think he's okay. Like, it's nothing to me. I'm like, oh, that son of a bitch.
Oh, I hate him.
Yeah, he's so smug. No, so like, I will.
Okay.
Give you Bruno.
So that's Bruno. Yeah. So how? So what? So
there's two apiece now.
Where are we at now? Okay.
Two apiece.
Yeah.
Then we have forwards.
Okay.
We have Garnacho.
Wanker.
And Diaz. Wanker.
Diaz isn't a wanker.
Ah, he is.
Ah, he's a wanker.
Yeah,
dude.
He is.
Why is Diaz?
Where's Garnacho wanker?
Look at him. Just look at him.
Like, if that's the argument, then all your team. Like,
no. No. Diaz is like, what's the word? I don't know what the word is. But if you looked at him side by side, you wouldn't say Diaz is a wanker. You might look at Diaz and go, ooh, wouldn't want to run into him
like
in a dark alley.
I don't like him.
Why?
Hard to pinpoint.
Like, Garnacho's got that Martinez sort of little.
Right,
little
you got something
runt,
against the Argentinians.
Little runt energy.
And the heightest. Yeah, like, I don't like him because he's little.
Hey,
all right, look.
You gotta give me Garnacho, surely.
I'll give you Garnacho.
Diaz, I mean.
All
right. Realistically.
Okay. I'll let you off.
3-2.
Salah and Rashford.
I do think Rashford's a wanker.
Why do you think he's a wanker?
I think he's a two-face and he's a sulker and he's a fucking... I just fucking cheer up. You know? Just fucking fuck off as well. These are not going to be...
No, I mean, that's not
great.
Really anything. Like,
he's
but
two-face.
He's not a wanker though. He's a genuinely good...
He's parading
good,
himself.
No, he's a genuinely good person. Like, that's not PR shit that he does. You know? You can dislike him for whatever reason. He's not a wanker.
Okay.
He's not a wanker.
Okay.
Yeah?
But surely you can't say Salah's a wanker. Happiest man in the game.
When he wants to be, like, you know, he throws the toys out of the pram with Klopp, Mane in the past. Like, he's can be a little bit wankerish.
He can be a bit of a DIY.
Yeah, but, like, that's kind of wankery behaviour.
Yeah, but you can't say Salah's a wanker, though, could you?
Can I not?
Well, I mean, you could, but I don't think.
Okay, how about this? I'll give you Salah, but I'm putting Jota in as
that's
a
fine,
wanker.
That's fine, yeah.
Jota's a wanker.
There he is.
Yeah, he's a little, you know, a little runt. Little fucker, like.
Oh, you'd love him as well, though, on your team, wouldn't you?
I don't know, though, like. You can only have so many. You know?
And who's your guy?
Xerxes up front now. Come on.
Oh, no, fine.
Yeah, he's cool.
So are we even?
Four apiece.
Okay.
Four wankers apiece. That's not bad.
Can we, yeah.
Well, you wanna
decider? Manager a manager off? The manager's aside? Or
I don't know, because I kinda like I like them both quite a lot. Like, you know, I'm a big Ten Hag guy. I actually thought Slot spoke really well about his tactics and stuff like that. It's like, oh, it's actually nice to hear managers come on. Like, I remember
he's very calculated, isn't
analytical.
He?
Like, yes, yeah, you know, and like Ten Hag has been like that in the past. But then all the questions are like,
what did you think of that one where the your man's like, he's like, tell me what? He's like, well, and your man starts naming all the stuff. But what do you think about that?
He listed up. He's like the Coventry game. I'm like,
yeah,
the Coventry game is like.
Do me a favor.
It's like, 70 minutes we bossed the game, two mistakes and a dodgy handball penalty. Like, I was just like, if you want to use facts to prove your argument, then by all means, fine. I think you have to get a bit bullish like that. I don't like the difference between Ten Hag and say Klopp.
Yeah.
Where we like, Klopp's angry that they lost, they dropped points, and somebody's asked like a kind of innocuous.
Yeah.
Question.
Congratulations.
Exactly, yeah.
But you want to ask this question, so...
I'm sorry, is he from Mumbai?
What do you want to ask? Now that's racist. it's like you asked this question, I cannot help you. You know, if you think that's a free... Or the one he's like, you tell me. I thought it was tight, but yeah, I thought it was a free. Well, we have nothing else to say.
Yeah. You know? It's funny, he's retired completely
I'm
now.
So happy that he's retired. I'd be devastated if he was managing some other...
He'll end up managing Germany or something like that.
That's fine. Said. International and Germany in particular. No problem with that.
What if he rocked up to England?
He wouldn't. To manage England?
Yeah.
I'd hate it. I'd hate it so much.
He could.
I definitely didn't want him to manage another club, you know, but like international, fine, but not England. You can't do that.
I mean, he could do that.
Yeah, but he wouldn't.
But he might.
I think I will. But the thing is, right, now that, because we've been doing the wanker Liverpool United, right, now, not to dwell on it for too long, but I feel like if we... And, like, I don't like United and you don't like Liverpool, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a fairly mature four piece. Now, if we went Arsenal versus City...
So many wankers.
I mean, it's... You'd have a harder time not picking the wankers.
Of Arsenal, is there anybody I like?
Can you go through them quick with Arsenal? You probably know the front... The first
hate 11. Ben White.
Oh, yeah.
Hate Saliba. Hate Gabriel.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, your man Timber, I don't really know him, but...
David Raya seems fine, is he?
He's about the only one, because he's just like a sponge.
Right.
You know, like, he's just there. Like, let me soak up the ball. Midfield, Rice, Snake.
Yeah.
You know, like, fucking Snake.
Yeah.
Who else? Who'd they got in midfield? Party, Rapist. I mean. You Rapist!
Allegedly. Come on out, you Rapist.
Allegedly. Who's the other one in midfield for them then? Odegaard.
I like Odegaard.
He's getting there though.
He is a bit of a wanker, but there, like, I like him.
Yeah, I like him too, but he's getting there.
Yeah.
Saka. I don't really dislike Saka.
No.
Martinelli, wanker.
Yeah, he's a wanker.
And he's just gone shy now, which is all more hilarious.
Double wanker.
And Havertz.
Havertz is a wanker.
Dumb. I just think he's way below average.
Gabriel Jesus is...
Yeah, he's really annoying.
I can't get over... Like, every time I see him, like, if you draw a cartoon of a man with those worried eyebrows, like, that's him all the time. Just those two, like, sort of, like, just chill him.
If we did City, Ederson.
I like Ederson.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him, I guess. He's kind of calmed down. I hate him when he first came in.
Yeah.
Because I was like, ugh. Flash bastard.
I mean, Walker, wanker. One of the biggest in the league.
Yeah. Idiot as well.
So, like, unlikable.
Weird.
Oh my god, takes his dick out in public restaurants.
Who do you got? Centre half. Diaz. I kind of like Diaz. Yeah. You know, so I'd have him at my club. Stones.
Wanker.
Yeah. Left full. We don't really have a fucking left full anymore. Yeah. He's eliminated them.
He's a wanker anyway.
Yeah. Gareth Vidal, like, he's fine. I don't really know. Rodri, wanker.
Yeah, big time.
He's very good, but he's a wanker.
Yeah. Where's your eyebrows?
It's the growth hormones.
Yeah, it's all that doping.
De Bruyne, I like.
Yeah.
Who else in midfield?
I hate that I like him, actually.
Who else plays? Bernardo Silva. I've gone over to that side now. He's a wanker.
I couldn't get over. I was in a group chat and I said to Terry and Andy, neither of whom are City fans, I was like, is it just me or is Bernardo Silva one of the biggest pricks in the league? And the two of you were like, one of the most inoffensive players.
I just like him.
I was like, am I losing? He's right up there with, like, Fernandez. I mean,
do you think Fernandez is the
Portuguese
biggest?
Lad. This is a trend. It's the Portuguese lad, isn't it? I mean, this is straight up racism now.
Do you think Fernandez is the biggest one in the league? Wanker.
Yeah, because he's like a little, like, crybaby worm rat.
He's not,
sort of
that
wanker.
Much anymore. He's actually not.
Last season he was better, but
last season
he's got about
half,
five,
like,
seasons banked of pure
wanker.
He's
not even at the club 5 seasons.
Whatever. Whatever the fuck.
Who? Okay, then if he went like Haaland, wanker.
I like Haaland.
Ah, he's a wanker.
He is a wanker, but he's just so damn good.
Yeah,
it's like,
it's
in the Van Dijk category, if you ask me.
No, he's not.
Like, his goodness outweighs...
Don't think so.
I like Haaland, but I fucking hate that I like him.
Who have they got on the wing? Grealish, wanker. Another snake. And then who's the other one? Foden.
I mean,
yeah,
wanker.
Idiot, like, you know. Biggest wanker in the league.
Who is the biggest wanker in the league? I think Walker. Kyle Walker.
He's up there.
Surely, like, Walker,
Newcastle.
Fernandez, Bernardo Silva.
Gordon.
Yeah, but he's a bit more in the snot boy category.
Yeah, he's
than
king
wanker.
Snot boy.
Yeah,
he, like,
he's king of the snot boys.
Who Chelsea got? Like a whole fucking team full. Always and forever.
Oh my God. Who haven't they got? I don't know.
Is it just me or footballers getting stupider as well? Like,
yeah. Like, I think so.
Cole Palmer, great footballer.
Wow. The interview is like,
two brain cells to spare. Like,
maybe a lot of them just don't care as much anymore. Like, I see Alise.
Yeah,
and where he's just very much like, just like, he just genuinely doesn't seem to care.
Is it a generation that grew up with iPads, that kind of thing? You know, kids that, like, they grew up with a bunch of screens, so it's like football and screens are your life.
Maybe
that's it. Like,
maybe,
you know?
I mean,
with your education.
But, like, you can see it in, like, the workforce as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, the attitude of younger people versus, you
go
know.
Off. Tell me more.
No, but you know what I mean? But just that general sort of work ethic, or, like, the
Entitlement
of, like, you know, whereas you might have a tough day at work. Now it's kind of like, well, this is affecting my mental health. I'm not going to come in tomorrow. You know, like, and not to make light of mental health issues, but, like, genuine mental health issues. But, like, everything is just under the, you
triggered.
Know, work-life balance, mental health, and it's all, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just, like,
get on with it.
Like, your boss gives you a bollocking or whatever. It's,
I tell,
like,
you, if
you're gone, like, you know.
If people, young people today worked where we worked 20 years ago,
it's quite mad, isn't it? Like, the shop.
Yeah.
When you think about it, like, it's proper, like, proper un-HR friendly, un-PC, I mean.
I think it's just because, like, a lot of places were like that.
Mm.
But it's just because now we've moved into places with proper infrastructure.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you can't actually say that. Like, but bars were the same and, you know, other people working in shops where I'd be like, he just fucking screamed at me for 5 minutes for something like that. Like,
yeah.
You know, you wouldn't get it in, you know, maybe a Dunn's or an Arnott's or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they would have the HR department.
They'd have an actual HR function there.
Even though the HR department are not really your pals. They work for the company.
Yeah,
so
to protect,
like,
the company.
Yeah.
But you know what I think as well is, like, that I think since COVID, a lot has changed with work, because now you're balancing the hybrid, or you're working from home, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. But, like, even like the dress code in here, like, this is what I was wearing to work today, you know, whereas
nice.
The idea of, you know, 10 years ago when I was working here, it was shoes, slacks, shirt, you know, it's gotta be clean, gotta be whatever. Now, like, it's clean, but
I wear, like, cords and a shirt.
Yeah.
And that, it used to have to be like, you used to have to wear a uniform in where I was, wear big slacks and a shirt.
But doesn't that seem so? Doesn't that seem so, like, outdated
and
now?
Antiquated, yeah.
Yeah, like, and it seems, I think people are seeing it for what it is now. We're like, why do I need to wear this?
Like,
this building?
We had to have a meeting with the old CFO.
Yeah.
And somebody brought it up. It's like, I have nice clothes and I would like to wear them to work.
Yeah.
And they are professional clothes. And he was like, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
He's like, why are you wearing a uniform? Because he was only, like, new in the door.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's been hospital policy or whatever. And he's like, but you aren't front facing. You don't.
Yeah, no one sees you.
Yeah, it's like, you don't see any patients or anything. Or you might see them walking past. He's like, as long as you're wearing something semi-professional, it's fine with me. And then everybody's like, like, wear regular clothes. And literally, there was another department who, like, work on the same floor as us. But up until they got a new head of department in, they were still wearing a uniform. And I was only saying it to them the other day. I was like, you're like, there's only like six of them in an office.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys seem so much happier since the new person came in. And it was in like an office memo. It was like, furthermore, we are removing this so we can move forward for this department.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, I can't believe that we had to wear the uniform for so long. And I was like, yeah, because they see people less like than us.
Particularly a team that doesn't deal with the public, like face to face or anything like that. like it seems so old fashioned now.
Yeah.
Already, and that's only been like what,
but we're
four
so
or five
behind.
Years.
We are so far Ireland. Ireland. Like when I was in Australia, which is 12 years ago now, like they were doing stuff where it was like a flexi time system where you just log your hours, it came in at 7:30 or whatever, or you log your 2 hours overtime and it's approved by your line manager or whatever. Like,
yeah,
we're only starting to do that in my office now. Now I know our place is a bit behind,
yeah,
but I was like, that we're also 10 years behind the rest of the world,
Ireland, doing this stuff. Like,
or like they have like, you know, casual Fridays and you know, there's beer in the office on a Friday for, you know, after work drinks to encourage teamwork or whatever. And it's like, none of that. Not many places. Places like Google and stuff, because they're...
That's kind of their culture.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm like, Ireland's work culture is so far behind. Like.
Ireland never seems to be... One thing that bugs me about Ireland is like, that there's never...
We're not progressive.
No, and we're not like trendsetters or anything like that. Now, granted, we were very early in the adoption of gay marriage and stuff like that, which was great.
Yeah.
And the world was like, hey, well, good job, Ireland. But like... But like we're very rarely
so behind on that, like,
yeah, but like we're very rarely like, I know other countries are doing it this way, we're gonna do it this way. Ireland like has to wait for like 20 other bigger countries to be like, okay, we'll do that too.
Cannabis is the huge,
you know,
thing.
Or like, you know, the way like in Scandinavia they do a lot of 4-day work weeks and showing all the benefits and all this sort of stuff and the savings,
paternity
like,
leave.
Ireland would never. Like, Ireland wouldn't be like, we're going to introduce something that no one else is doing. Like, no. We're just going to get away with it for as long as we can until enough people say, change that. And we're like, all right.
If you think of, like, they've raised the retirement age by 2 years. Remember it used to be 65?
Yeah.
Now it's 67.
Yeah.
And they tried doing it in France. Did you see this?
No.
And they went fucking mental. Threatened to burn down the government almost. And they were like, all right, okay, we hear you.
Brilliant.
Fair enough. And it's like, that's what we should. And it's like, we're just like, well,
I don't like it.
Yeah, but I guess I'll put up with it.
To be fair, one thing that did happen here for was the Irish water, where they came out and they were like, "Well, you're gonna have to pay it," and everyone's like, "No," and then we're like, "They're like, all right."
Some people did pay it, the idiots. It's like, still waiting on their money back now. I'm sure. Like,
oh my god, I would hate it.
It's like TV license as well.
No, don't even get me started. It's
just the cost of living in Ireland.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
it's that tax.
Just call it tax.
It's that way of like, it's just one of the terms and conditions of life in Ireland. Like, oh my God, you fucker.
You get enough out of me. Like,
I just paid my toaster tax. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Hey, so when you were sick.
Yeah.
Did you get any watching done or anything like that?
I have been on a Breaking Bad binge.
Yay!
How are you on? I'm on halfway through season 3. I've been absolutely hooked all weekend. I've been just, any bit of free time, I'm like, oh, I'll get another episode in.
Can I give you my mic?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, please.
Walter.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Hey, little fun fact about Mike Ehrmantraut.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, he appears at the end of season 2. He was not originally. I've literally read the book on this. He was not originally supposed to be in that episode. It was supposed to be Saul Goodman that came and helped clean up the mess. But Bob Odenkirk was unavailable, so they created this character who was like, you know, worked with Saul or whatever like that, like. And
well, that's good.
Yeah, it's cool.
Do you know, I have to admit, when I first watched it, I wasn't huge on the Saul Goodman character.
He looks so fat when I did my rewatch. But he's so thin in Better Call Saul. Like,
now I love him in it, like straight away.
He's amazing. Like,
he's great. And then, do you know what bit had me really fucking mad? And I was only saying to Kerry season 1, I'm like, you know what, I think Skyler's gotten a bit of a bad rap here. Like, she's every right to be annoyed here and all this. And then, like, as it goes on with her and Ted and all this, but there was one scene where, like, he's coming clean to her, Walt is coming clean to her, and he's being open with her, which is rare for him. And he's saying, like, you know, this money's going to pay for blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to have it, you know, all this. And then later in the day, like, she goes off then and fucks Ted. Yeah. And then he's like, you know, I'm really happy with our conversation. I think, you know, honesty is good. He's making a sandwich and all this. And she just walks over real slow. She's like, I fucked Ted.
Yeah.
And I was like, Oh, I've been thinking about it for days after. So I'm like, oh my God. I'm fuming. No,
but it's always on his terms. It's always on Walt's terms.
I do agree.
Like, he's like, I feel good about this. And like, fuck off. Like,
nearly,
man.
Nearly bludgeoned without even realizing it. Yeah, like you know.
It's like, he's like, well, you know, I'm glad I cleared my conscience and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but
and
you wouldn't. But she went off specifically to do that.
Because she's hurt and she hates him.
Yeah, but that. But I mean, but that as
it's
well.
All
like,
broken,
Andy. Just because,
it's all broken.
But
the
just because he's.
Broken.
A, I mean, just because he's a drug dealer. Right?
He's a
meth head. But like, if.
No, he's not a meth head.
Meth dealer. Yeah. But like, if that's it. You know what I mean? You all of a sudden hate him that you'll sleep with other people and. You wouldn't be like, okay, I want a divorce because we can't be together.
He lied for so long. All the shit he put her through in the first two seasons. Yeah. The fugue state.
Yeah.
All this shit.
I suppose,
like, he put her through a lot.
And I'm really trying to not jump on the fuck Skyler bandwagon again. I mean, I know it's like 20 or 10 years later. But I have to admit that she's... Do you know what it is? This is terrible. She's got...
Careful. It's her face.
It is her face. She's got a massive face. Massive eyes, massive Tony Robbins hungry sort of mouth.
It's like it got bigger.
It's getting bigger.
Yeah.
It is getting bigger. And I'm trying to not jump on the because I know she got a lot of hate.
She got so much hate.
Like unwarranted. Completely unwarranted. And I'm trying to not be that guy. I've been like, oh, I don't look good. I tell you who I don't like. Walt Jr. Alright?
Way.
Well, you can't
Why
do that.
You just die, Andy. I'm not allowed to do my impression.
You can't do that.
No. I'm not allowed to do my impression.
No. Okay. You can't do that.
All right.
But anyway, so that's what I've been getting up to while I've been.
It's a good show.
Sick. I'm really doing it to get to Better Call Saul. I know I probably don't need to, but I want to be fresh with everything and up to date going into Better Call Saul.
I have a book. It's called Breaking Bad 101.
Ooh.
It's written by a TV critic called Alan Sempenwall. He's done a few books like this. He also did one called The Soprano Sessions.
Ooh.
And it's the same kind of format where it's an episode by episode recap.
Mm-hmm.
And he does like an overview of each season as it goes along. And they're both excellent reads. I bought The Sopranos one first and he's doing one for Better Call Saul. It's coming out in January.
Ooh.
I can't wait to do it. To
now,
read it.
Speaking of Sopranos, Terry,
mm-hmm.
you want to talk some Sopranos?
I want to talk some Sopranos because I watched this documentary and I was like, at times I had tears in my eyes watching it.
Why?
Because it's well, part of it was for James Gandolfini.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sad.
Yeah.
And like he,
how long was the show off air before he died?
I think. 6 years, maybe?
Right,
5 years, you know? I think they've finished it. The show might have been off air. I think the show ended in 2009, so, and I think he died 2013, but they'd finished the show. They say, like,
yeah.
It was 6 years since they'd finished the show, like, finished, you know, shooting. Wrapping it or
yeah,
whatever. Like,
yeah.
The documentary is very interesting because the whole process of the whole, like, Tony Soprano, his mother, the psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Is pretty much David Chase, which I never realized.
Right.
That he was like talking about his mother and how he based the character of Olivia on his mother. And then people, and he's like, I thought my mother was one of a kind. And he'd have people come up to me like, that she's just like my aunt or my grandmother.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. Very interesting. And then, like, as it went on, they were like, it's actually crazy how, like, they're talking about him being like a bit of a control freak in the writer's room and stuff.
Right.
And then they play a clip with Silvio and Tony. And Silvio is like talking about like the seven deadly sins. He's like, yours is pride. We're not perfect, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And like Tony turns around to him and he's like, oh, due respect.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got no fucking idea.
Yeah, what it's like to
and
be
it's like,
one.
Like, that's David Chase right there. Like, but wow. I just, when I was watching, I was like, oh man, I kind of want to watch it again.
Do you know, this? I feel like it's criminal, but like, I've only seen it once. I've only seen it once like 15 years ago. And like, I loved it. Like,
it's on Sky Atlantic all the time. Like literally last week.
Is that an Andy Sky Go?
You might. I don't think. I think he only has the sports though. I don't think he has the entertainment.
Sick
package.
Andy.
Yeah. I'll see if I can hook you up with adding a device for you for my Now TV. All right. I'll see if I can spare a square.
Brilliant. If you could spare a square, that'd be great.
But like, whatever day it was, I was up one night with Gus. He's kind of been going through a bit of a sleep regression.
Oh, yeah.
Which is around this time, around two, they start to do that. And not as bad as Bonnie was, but there was one night where I was like, just got to bring him downstairs. Faye.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're sitting down and we're watching The Sopranos. Well, yeah. And he was rapt. He was sitting there watching it. I mean, he was like, and it was like near the end of season, or season six.
Yeah.
And it was like Johnny Sack having to do the allocution and say he's like part of the mob or whatever. But it was all that stuff. And I was just like, even at that, it's such high riding, six seasons into it. You're just like, they're like, I can't believe he fucking said that, him and Syl. And like, he's like, you never admit this thing, blah, blah. And then like, there's a gardener comes up to him. He's like, hey, Tony, because he was like doing Johnny's fucking giant house, like on part of his route. It took him fucking ages. He's like, since Johnny was found guilty, do you think I could stop doing this as part of my route? And I was like, what did you say? He's like, he bled guilty. They could have had anything. They could have had electrocuting his nipples or whatever like that. Just the turn on the dime of the two of them being like, this fucking red, I can't believe it.
Can I give you my Tony Soprano impression?
Yeah, please. Oh, man. Okay. This is tough.
Okay. Let me get ready here. Just like you and everybody in fucking Jersey.
Not bad. Huh? You got the shish.
Yeah,
you know.
Shish.
Have you seen
the soft shh.
Have you seen the black guy? That
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Right? Unreal. Like.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. Like, it's... I mean, we've done...
I have to say Al Foran's very good as Tony Soprano as well. Yeah, very good, yeah.
Al, good.
Good old Al.
Yeah. He's a Man United fan.
I know.
Yeah. Get him on.
We follow each other. We'll get him on.
We've done, you know, top five TV characters. Yeah. I think he appeared on your list.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did top five finales. Like,
yeah, he appeared.
We both had it on ours. It's probably my favorite show ever.
Yeah.
Like, it is.
I saw a thing, like, the test reading for the role of Tony, and, like, your man, the chef guy, was...
Artie Bucco. They have it on the documentary.
Yeah,
like,
I seen his...
Artie was reading for it. Paulie was reading for it.
Some other guy...
Pussy was reading for it. Big Pussy.
Yeah, there was some other guy that I didn't quite recognise. And then, it was funny, because then James Gandolfini said, halfway through his one...
He got up and left.
He thought, oh, this is terrible. If you want me to come back, I'll redo it. I'll do it a different way.
And they did it in David Chase's house.
Oh, yeah. So he did actually do it again?
Yeah, so he did
it. I wasn't sure if they were like, no, we love it.
They did love it. But right. Then they were like, we want to get him in, like, to do it, because they couldn't find anybody. But it's funny, you see, like, Tony Sirico, who's, you know, Paulie.
Yeah.
And you see him and Pussy both reading their roles. And they're, like, you see other people reading for it, but, like, they're so far ahead of, like, oh, maybe it's because you see them.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're like, oh, but it's so good. You're like, that's them.
Yeah.
And then you see Christopher. Like Michael Imperioli, who doesn't... I don't know if you ever heard him talk normally or whatever.
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything like Chris.
No, not really, no.
And then you hear him
doing
the lines, and it's like, oh, he's doing... Like, you see all these other... like Joey and friends, you know, the audition, five other Joeys or whatever together.
Yeah,
like, They're like, oh, it's a bunch of that guys. It's just, like, generic Italian guy, and they're doing the... you know, like, oh,
Italian sort of.
And then, like, you see him and he does something, the way he holds his body, the way he, like, raises his voice a little bit, you're like, wow.
It's funny, like, the guy who plays Paulie,
Tony Sirico.
Yeah. He, like, Anthony Jr. and Meadow have, I don't know their
podcast. Real names.
Yeah, they have a podcast, but Anthony Jr. was talking about, like,
AJ.
Yeah, fine.
AJ.
When he was having his, like, confirmation or something like that, and that Paulie was there, and he came up and gave him like an envelope of 500 in it, and he's like anyone who gives you trouble, you know, let me know, and left. And he's like am I in the mob, you know, like that sort of, but that's sort of like,
well,
he was his character.
He was
like,
mobbed up though before.
Did you see a picture of him? I think I might have sent it to you on Twitter like a year ago, of Paulie in his
20s. Yeah.
Fucking, I mean...
Look great.
What a dime piece this guy is. He's like on the beach, but he's got all of his fucking like suspenders and straps.
They said he didn't wear makeup. He would tan.
Oh, really?
He would do tanning boots and he would do the thing. He said he would do that. Or it was like he would do his hair. He wouldn't let anybody do his
hair.
No way. He would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
What a guy.
Do his hair, read his lines, comb through it, let it set, put the mist in, comb through it again, then it's ready to go. And they talk about the Pine Barrens. It was like the only episode where his hair was out of place.
Yeah.
And they were, he was like, you're not fucking touching my hair. And they're like, you have to. Like, it's part of the thing. It's written in it. And he's like, okay. And like, messed it up a bit. And they're like, Tony. And he's like, all right. Like,
yeah. Brilliant.
Have you got, is the Pine Barrens your favorite episode?
Do you know, I think so. It's the one that stands out now. But I feel like if I went back now, I'd probably have maybe five favorites over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's the obvious one.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's certainly the funniest episode.
Steve Buscemi directed it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Hey.
I think my favorite, I've probably two.
Yeah.
That are like my favorite. I really like the season two finale, the Funhouse, when they realize that pussy. When Tony is like having all the dreams. He had food poisoning.
Yeah.
And he's having the dreams.
Oh, yeah.
And like the fish is talking to him. He's like, come on, Tony. You know what you know, yeah. Or whatever like that. Like, and he realized, and then they bring him out to the boat.
Yeah.
And they're playing Frank Sinatra, and he's like, I'm woozy, can I sit down or whatever?
Yeah.
And they just like,
yeah,
light him up. Or Long-Term Parking with,
what was that?
That's Adriana and Christopher, and he realizes that she's been working with the feds.
Oh yeah.
And it's like he starts like beating the shit out of her and like choking her, and then he's like,
so much of that.
What are we gonna do? Yeah. And they talk, she talked about it was like her last episode.
Yeah.
And it was her and Syl, and Steve Van Zandt was like, it was the hardest thing I ever had to shoot, you know?
Really?
And she was like,
oh yeah, because he had to take her out.
He takes her out. Like, the whole thing is that, like, oh, Christopher's overdosed, Syl's going to pick you up.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, he doesn't take the turn, and they just drive into the woods.
Yeah.
And she turned around and she said, come on, like, I'm a whore, you're a fucking mafioso. He's like, fucking grab me by the hair or whatever. And he's like, he didn't want to get rough or whatever like that. And like, it when they play the scene in the documentary, and when he gets out, she's like looking around, she's like, oh no, and he's like, where you going? And like because it's like she's like reaching for his door, like trying to get the keys, and then she's like, no, he's like, come here, you little cunt. And then he said it was the only time in the show when they killed somebody that they didn't show it on screen.
Right.
It was like the camera goes up to the sky and you hear the gunshots, and then it comes down and it's like Tony and Carmela, they're in another forest, and she's like, they've reconciled, getting back together. And one of the things they're reconciled, one of the terms, is that he is going to like buy her a spec house so she can flip it and, you know,
get
into the real estate business. And they're looking at the site, and like, I never noticed it before, but they say it's like Tony's there and he's just thinking about Adriana, and you see it on his face. He's like close to tears.
You're
like, well, like, he had to do it. Like, you know, but he was always really fond of her. Like, you know,
wow.
Fucking, and it's so funny.
That's the thing, like, shows like that aren't technically comedies, like, they're really, they're,
it's like Succession, like stuff. It's like people are talking about The Bear won a bunch of Emmys for comedies. Like, it is a comedy, they play it straight, but it's not as funny as something that, like, a drama like The Sopranos or Succession, where
because Sopranos can go so far at the other end that any sort of bit of levity or whatever is if that's the right
levity,
word.
You got it.
They like, it's like double, you know what I mean? Like double the power. I remember the first time I saw The Sopranos, I just turned it on a random episode, and it was what's your man's name? The little fucking guy with the hair.
Ralphie.
Yeah, and he's beats up that stripper or whatever to death.
She
and,
was a whore.
Yeah, and like that's literally the part I turned it on. I was like, oh. And it put me off for about a good year or two. I was like, oh, I don't want to watch
that. The weird thing about that episode is that's also a really funny episode where he's like watching Spartacus and he's like, I can't believe Moltisanti thinks this is better than Gladiator. Like, he's big into like, you know, like he's messing around with the fucking
the chain and all that.
Like, like, he's brilliant. Now, Joey Pants is amazing.
Can I ask you, I mean, what, just because I'm fresh on Breaking Bad, would Breaking Bad be in your top five TV shows or no?
I think I had it way back when. It was like Sopranos, The Wire, Breaking Bad were like top three. I think Breaking Bad might have gone down a little bit.
Do you think Breaking Bad is a little more dated, mightn't be the word, but like, do you think it's lost a bit of sheen that like The Sopranos hasn't lost Sopranos a step.
Hasn't. Yeah. Sopranos is still number one.
Yeah.
Because it is, like, literally you can turn on, like I say, if it's on TV,
yeah,
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, by and large, you know, it's
every episode's great quality. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Like, even the first season, people are like, oh, I don't really like the first season. Yeah. Like, go back and watch the first season. It's fucking incredible.
I went back, maybe last year, I went back and I watched a few of the first season. And I did kind of get a little bit like, you know, there's a lot of setting things up here. But I was a little bit like, all right. Like,
really?
I'm not gonna turn me back on it. Now, I just didn't end up going back to it, but I wasn't, it didn't have as much as I remembered season one. Like, it seems to really pick up
with
maybe later season one.
It's almost like each season gets better than the last.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some people don't really like season 5 with Buscemi. I think it's a great season.
Yeah, I like that. It's
a really good season. Season 4 is possibly the best season. Probably my favorite finale, where it's like they have the big blowout at the beach house. Where she's like, I have been fantasizing over Furio for a year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like you see him, he grabs her, and you're like, his hand the size of her head. And he just like starts punching holes in the wall.
The wall beside him. Yeah.
And then like he's trying to get out of the deal with the fucking lawyer. And he won't. He's like, sorry, no. And he's like, you don't say no to me, you know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then the workaround is, he's like, I'm a lawyer, you know, like, you're not going to beat me on this. The workaround is, you just see somebody coming out of his, like, guest house, bringing these giant speakers. There's two, like, underlings doing it while he's talking to somebody else. And then the end of the episode is, he's sitting in his house, and there's a boat out on the water, just blaring, like, Dean Martin live in Las Vegas. And he's like, I'm calling the cops. He's like, his wife's like, what's the point? They're just going to turn it off and drive away when they come out here again. I was like, oh, this has been going on for days. Like,
brilliant. Do you know, I have to say, though, I absolutely love mob stuff and mafia stuff. Anything that's on Netflix, Get Gotti, How to Be a Mob Boss, all these shows.
I love them.
There's one. One was a lot better than the other, where they've actually got tapes.
What was that guy you watched?
Sammy the Bull.
Yeah. Gavano, right?
Yeah. And that was just so interesting as well. Like, he's, you know,
I couldn't hack it. I'm like,
why is that? Why do you think?
Even though it's all true,
it's kind of like, you want to be like, shut up.
Yeah, it kind of rang false to me. I'm like, I don't like, it's, even though it's all true.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're really sensationalizing it.
Do you know
trying to play it as like this gritty documentary as opposed to The Sopranos, where I'm like, this stuff could have definitely happened. And I like the fact that it presents itself as fiction.
Yeah.
You know, this guy presenting it as fact.
But you know what? There's parts of it that
I walked up there to was John one.
Did you ever hear,
I love you, or whatever. I'm like, all right. Like,
did you ever hear of a guy,
John
Patrick Bet David? I don't know if that's his name. Something anyway. But he hosted a sit down.
I remember you showed me this as well. Like,
so it's with Sammy the Bull and Michael Francesi, right? And they don't like each other because they were with different families. But one thing I thought was very interesting, because like, it's like Michael Francesi was like he the son of, I think it's Sonny Francesi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Francis, I don't know. But Sonny was like a big guy in the thing. And so a lot of people thought that Michael got a lot of things handed to him because he was Sonny's son. And like, there was a great bit in the interview where like, because Sammy's talking about like, they finally opened the books for guys to be made in the mid 70s for the first time in like 15 years, or it was something like a long time. And he's like, and everyone was, because Sammy had been in and doing it for a while, and everyone was like, oh, Sammy, you just didn't make it on the first round. Like, a couple of years later, they opened the books again or whatever. And he's like, you were only whatever, 19. I had been in it for whatever, how many years. And it's like, I didn't, they were like, oh, Sammy, you were so close, whatever. He's like, but you got in on the first one, on the first round. It's like, 19 years old? It's like, now why do you think that is? And all this sort of stuff. And it's like, oh, I did this and I did that. But like, just actual,
I shot him in the middle.
And there was bits like that where it's like, what have you ever done? It's like, I am responsible for 19 murders. And it goes, oh, good for you. Oh, well.
Arrest this man?
Yeah. It's like, yep, we got him. He admitted it.
We got him. live around the world.
But I kind of, I don't listen to it anymore. But for a while, I remember you were absolutely big into it, hooked.
And I couldn't get into it.
But
everybody has a podcast now, and like I haven't listened to the Sopranos podcast.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. You know,
who's your favorite? Just while we're wrapping up, who's your favorite character?
Back in the day, it was always Silvio, but I'd have to say Paulie now.
Yeah,
like I know that's kind of the obvious one, but like he's. Just when you see him on screen, you're like, hey, yeah.
I think my favorite is Christopher.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he'd be one of my least favorites now.
I don't know. He's very fucking funny.
Yeah,
he's very funny. And I just think he's like one of the more complex.
He is.
Like Silvio and Pauly are great, but they're like...
A lot more one dimensional.
He's just like pop in for a bit. Hey, like Tony, obviously. that episode I was watching where it was like, he's like, they found lipstick on Carlo's jacket or whatever. He's like, they found a lipstick around his cock. And it's like, you motherfucker. And like, they're stabbing him. And then like, Tony shows up. And he's like, Tone, you don't want to come in
here.
You didn't see what happened.
He's leaving. That's right, Tone. You didn't see nothing.
Like, Carlo, no. Like, and like, they fall back. Like, that's so funny. Where it's
that's
like,
really funny.
He's like, they're making sauce or something in the meantime. Like,
Carlo, no.
A big fat guy that's stabbing with the kitchen knife and all. Like,
gotta like, get on this
so
show.
So fucking good.
Well, look.
But like, that kind of, I don't know, like, those big characters were great. But then, like, the idea of like Tony, Melfi, Christopher, Carmella, like they do
a lot of depth on to those
Carmella
characters.
Is like, she made a deal with the devil. She stays because it's secure life. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And like, I don't know if you remember the one episode where she goes to a priest and he's like, you must reconcile with your husband. And then she goes to like a Jewish psychiatrist and he's like, take your children and leave.
Yeah.
This man is blood money. Yeah. You cannot accept that. And she was like, oh, my priest said, he's like, you do what you need to do. You cannot say you have not been told that this man is evil. And if you stay with him, you know. And it was just like, David Chase, like, that's the one time anybody in the show says, that's right.
Yeah.
This is what he is. And you know that's what he is.
Yeah,
you
know,
like, so fucking good.
So I got to get back on this
show. Ah, man. And, you know, it's right there.
Now TV.
From our friends at Now TV.
Soon to be sponsors of the show.
Yeah. Why don't you tell the good folks where else they can find us, Andy?
Folks, you can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. Now, on the Instagram profile, you'll find a link there. And on the link, you'll find access to our beloved Patreon that we talk about all the time. Now, why do we talk about it? Because it's great. You get at least two extra episodes a month. You get early access to these episodes. And if you have a suggestion on the Patreon, there's a good chance that we will 100% do your idea.
We are currently doing the films of Tony Scott. Our most recent episode is a film that both you and I needed to get our opinions out there on. We're talking about Crimson Tide. And furthermore, coming up down the pike, we've got two more Denzel. And immediately next, we have got Will Smith in Enemy of the State. It's a good time.
And I have to say that it was a huge success, Crimson Tide. A lot of people enjoyed the episode, enjoyed watching the movie back. I have been watching it. Certain scenes.
Yeah.
Like that's
so
how
good.
Much it's stuck with me. But we've also got What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, and What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's Bad Movies. And also, Terry, I have done a bit of organising on the old Patreon.
Oh, you put them in the buckets?
They're in their little collections now.
Yeah.
So you can go and you can go back and say, oh, here's, put it in H, season 6 when we did The Simpsons, season 7, season 8, and like here's our top fives, here's our music episodes, here's our pitch meeting episodes.
Look at that.
So if you want them all and you think, oh, I don't want to go searching all the way back, they're in a lovely little pile for you there. And then there's just random bonus episodes and all this other stuff. So
it's a good community.
It's a good time. There's hundreds of episodes there.
Great people over there as well. Loving the the chats.
Me and Terry specifically, and we're not just saying it for the people's benefit, we personally say to each other all the time, God, they're just great over there on the Patreon. And we're like, yeah, they really are.
They really are. You can't afford the low fee of €5 a month to join up, well, you can do me one more favor. Now, Andy.
Yeah?
We're talking about The Sopranos today. Yeah. There was, if you talk to David Chase, 7 seasons of the show. Not 6A and 6B, 7 seasons.
Nope.
You know what? I'd love a 7-star review, but it doesn't exist. So why don't you give me the max of a 5-star review?
Yes.
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify.
You
know,
Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, give us a rating review.
We'd love it.
Tell a friend, tag a friend, you know, all that good stuff. Share it on your socials if you're into that kind of thing. Really helps grow the podcast, get us back in the charts, keeps you guys back in our hearts.
That's why he's the man, because he can pull it out of the bag just like that, folks. On that note,
we'll wrap it up there.
Hope you enjoyed this easy breezy, just having fun with an episode, and we will be back next week. And
until then,
goodbye.
Bafangum.